willing and able. Please stand. Hymn number 44. Instruments, I'll have them join us again on the chorus, please.
Things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, so we are rejoicing through Jesus, God's Son. But higher and higher, greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus.
Thank you. You may be seated. I'm going to call upon Ben Flink to come read the scripture this morning and then open in a word of prayer, please.
Good morning. We're going to be reading from Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, and I'll be reading verses 11 through the end of the chapter. I'll be reading in ESV. Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and the dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain shall you bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." The man called his wife Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and his wife garments of skin and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. Now, lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." Therefore, the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed the cherubim and the flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Let's pray. Father, we want to first and foremost praise you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who has brought us salvation and has saved us from our own sin, Lord. And we celebrate that today. We celebrate your Son's resurrection and another day that we could gather together as a church to hear from your word, to sing praise to you, to pray together, Lord, and now to just fellowship during this time, to celebrate your faithfulness and your goodness to us. Lord, help us to love one another. Help us to be characterized by love. And as we seek to live our lives, I pray that you just give us strength. Help us to worship you well today. And I pray all these things in the name of your Son. Amen.
Hymn number 58. Hymn number 58, All Creatures of Our God and King. Before we start, we are going to have a hymn of the month, Jesus at Your Holy Table. It should be on the chairs when you came in. If you're at the tables, you might need a copy. So if you don't have one close, if you'd raise your hand, I've got an usher that'll give you one. Otherwise, it's not in the hymn book. It's laying on the chairs really close. So make sure you get one. That's coming up a little bit later in the service. All Creatures of Our God and King, hymn number 58.
Oh,
Hymn number 65, O Worship the King, All Glorious Above. Hymn 65. For this month is James 3:17, there on the screen behind me. Let's say the reference first, the verse, and then the reference together, all right? James 3:17, but wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. James 3:17. Listen as the choir sings a medley on the cross this morning.
Thank you.
254 is our next hymn, Nothing But the Blood. This is a little bit different tune than what we're normal, What Can Wash Away My Sin. It's a little bit different, right? Two verses of this, 254. Melody line of it. Sing the melody and we'll do the first verse one more time. All right. When my life is scarred with sin.
When my life is scarred with sin.
Is Jesus at your holy table? That should be the piece of paper there in front of you. We'll sing all three verses of this one. If you're able, would you stand with me as we sing? Jesus at your holy table.
Crucified.
As you're being seated, I'm going to dismiss the children to their time of junior church. And those are ages 3 through 8. And as they're being dismissed, I'm going to call upon Michelle Douglas and Maggie Anderson to sing a duet for us this morning before. Oh, Flinks are singing. Ah, sounds good. We'll do that, Pastor.
Little change up in the schedule. It is a great pleasure to have my family with us. You know, through the years, we've been very thankful for both of our children and their families. They've served the Lord, and what a blessing to have David and Christy and Lucas back with us. Also Jordan and Ben and Kaylee. And you'll be coming in just a little bit. I think with the boys, they're going to be singing a Spanish song, and hopefully they're going to translate that. Is that right? Okay, there'll be the words on the screen for us to understand. I count it a great privilege to share a pulpit with my son, and it's always a blessing to have him home, to see him grow and prosper in the ministry that God has called him to accomplish. And in many ways, he is a challenge to me as well. But we're thankful for this time together. Look forward to hearing what God has placed upon his heart to share with us from Genesis chapter 3 and from God's word. So David, why don't you come this time and share with us music and the message.
Yeah, I'm going to ask my three sons to come up. Remember that? In Chile, we have a lot of scriptural songs that we sing, and we would like to sing one of them for you today. It's Psalm 18. And I put up the English rough translation for you. It's very hard to, in a poetic way, get it back into English. But just so you have something up there to realize what we're singing. But we're singing about the Lord. We're singing about salvation and his, he is a rock. He is our fortress. And so listen with us and worship with us as we sing Psalm 18.
Me dice el escudo de ensanchaste mis pasos debajo de mí. Viva Jehová.
Today is the Lord's Day, and I don't know why you're here today, but I hope it's with joy, because we have the opportunity to serve our risen Savior. Turn with me to Genesis 3. It'll be our text today. Genesis 3, Rika and you. Have you ever started reading a book and you accidentally misplaced your bookmark, thus causing you to skip a chapter? Have you ever started watching a movie only to step out for a few minutes to grab something to drink or maybe to go to the bathroom? Is this on? I think I'm on. When you start reading again, or when you start watching the movie again, things don't really make sense. There's something that you've missed. Something that changed the whole plot. The content you've missed had numerous implications for the direction of the rest of the story. Genesis 3 is this type of chapter. You must not miss the content of this chapter. This chapter is vital for the Christian worldview in understanding the content and its implications of this chapter has proven to be an integral part in our way of serving and ministering in the city of Arica. And as I hope you will see this morning, it can also play an essential role in effective service and ministry in and through this local church. When God's work of 6 days of creation was completed, everything in the world was very good. There was nothing out of order. There was no pain, no suffering, no illness, no struggle for existence, no imbalances, no sin. And above all, there was no death. But things are not very good in the world today. At the end of chapter 2, Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, without sin and without shame. This must have been the happiest and the most innocent moment ever in the history of the world. The verse reads, "And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." This is how chapter 2 ends. This must have been the happiest and most innocent moment ever in the history of the world. Turning our focus now to chapter 3, we will quickly see that everything will change. And I mean everything. Some have called Genesis 3 the saddest chapter in the Bible. What happened to the world? Why is everything so different in every aspect of life? Just to give a few examples. In the physical aspect, after Genesis 3, everything tends to deteriorate and wear out. In the living world, after Genesis 3, every animal is engaged in a perpetual struggle against other animals and other diseases, also having to face the universal process of aging and death. Culturally, after Genesis 3, civilization after civilization seems to rise for a time and then decline and or die. In the spiritual and moral realm, after Genesis 3, the world is full of hate, full of crime, full of war, full of pollution, full of envy, full of corruption, and evils of all kinds. Something has changed in God's perfect creation. I have three main objectives for us all this morning. First of all, I would like to simply read the entire chapter and make some observations from 10,000 feet. I don't have time to get into a lot of the details, but I would like us to hear the content of the chapter. I would like to make some observations. And while making some of these observations from 10,000 feet, secondly, I would like to point out or flesh out these Genesis 3 implications by telling you how we have encountered and personally seen these things, these Genesis 3 implications in our new city of Arica. Finally, I would like to challenge you all here in the Twin Cities area to be alert and to also observe the many Genesis 3 implications in your community and to live a life that pleases our Lord by participating in the Great Commission in and through your local church. Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' And he said, 'I hear the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and hid myself.' He said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? The man said, The woman whom you gave to me to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree and I ate. Then the Lord God said to the woman, What is this that you have done? And the woman said, The serpent deceived me, and I ate. Let me make a short pause here. You know, Satan is not creative. The same tactics he used in Genesis 3 are the same tactics that he still uses where I live and where you live. Satan's tactics have always been to distort or deny the truth of God's word. We see that in this text. Did God really say? Planting doubt. Or distorting. Or denying the truth of God's word. He also loves to discredit the testimony of God's people. To this day, this is one of his tactics. I don't care where you live in the globe, this is happening. Thirdly, to depress or destroy the believer's enthusiasm for God's work. And fourthly, to dilute the effectiveness of God's people. The main weapon of our enemy in Arica is deception, shiny things, new things, things that tempt our eyes and our ears and the desires of our heart. But our weapon is the truth that can be only found in God's word. Jesus is our perfect example when he was tempted by Satan in Matthew. His response always was God's word. So Satan's tactics have always been the same. He is not creative. He is powerful, but he is not all powerful. He is not everywhere, but he does have an influence. And we see this every day where we live in Arica. And I am sure that you see this as well in your community. This is extra, but I found this fascinating that in the first two chapters of the Bible, Genesis 1 and 2, in the last two chapters of the Bible, you will not find Satan. But from Genesis 3 on, he is an important factor and a major influence in all of history. Let's keep reading. Verse 14. The Lord God said to the serpent, Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and the dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. No verse in the Old Testament is more crucial and definitive than this verse, Genesis 3:15. It says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Verse 15 establishes a principle that runs through the entire Old Testament, creating an expectation of a Redeemer who will be a descendant, a seed of Adam and Eve. Verse 16 Verse 15 establishes the parameters by which God will redeem his people from their sin. This is the first note of hope after Genesis 3, after the fall. The first note of hope for God's redemptive intention following the fall in the Garden of Eden. Verse 15 establishes a cosmic explanation for the disorder of the world. Sin and Satan is at work. And verse 15 introduces a principle of the victory, of God's side over the side of darkness. It is echoed, of course, by Jesus at Caesarea Philippi. The gates of hell are set against the church of Jesus Christ, but Jesus assures his disciples that the church will be victorious. That's a great comfort as a disciple of Christ, as a missionary in another country planting a church. God will build his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Verse 16. To the woman he said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Curse is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. The man called his wife Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. A couple of comments about this section. We saw this yesterday during the work day. It was tough. I think most of the people were sweating. Some might be sore today. There were several people weeding the islands out here. These are all implications of Genesis 3. I think sometimes we forget that. Life is hard. Life is hard specifically after Genesis 3. A couple of implications that we see every day in Arica, coming from this section. We live in the desert. It's pretty much impossible for things to grow unless you have water and unless you work. We live in an area that's famous for olive oil, for olives. It's a very dry climate. And in the valley, the Asapa Valley, that runs from the mountains to Arica on the coast, you'll see that it is full of olive trees and other fruits and vegetables. When I drive through this area, I think of Genesis 3. This is an implication of Genesis 3. There is a lot of hard work that goes into farming. This is the market where we buy our olives. Better say I buy my olives because nobody in my house eats them. More for me. It takes a lot of work, a lot of effort to water and to harvest and to gather and to travel to the city to sell it. This is the fruit market. It's called the Vega, the Agro, near our house. And it's an amazing place. It's pretty. It's colorful. It has tropical fruits. But this is all just evidences of the fall. There's a lot of work that goes behind these pictures to cultivate all of these fruits and vegetables. A lot of thorns and thistles and weeds had to be pulled. A lot of faithful watering had to happen. The other thing that is a consequence of the fall in our area, again in northern Chile, where Peru and Bolivia and Arica meet, there is a culture that is an Andean culture that is mixed. And in southern Peru, very near to where we live, there is a festival in a small city on December 25th where the whole city gathers, starts to drink, starts to wear costumes, and they gather in the stadium to fight. Because this festival, the thinking is throughout the whole year, you have built up conflict with someone. But on this day is your chance to go mano a mano with them. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a lady. This is the day where we duke it out. And everyone's watching. And everything's cool. Everything's okay with this. Because it cleans us from our conflict throughout the whole year. If we understand Genesis 3, this is sad to watch. It's very shocking, specifically to see the ladies fight, even to the point of blood. But this is acceptable. This is understandable if we understand Genesis 3. It's sad, but it's understandable because they do not have Christ in their life. They don't know how to resolve conflicts in April. They have to wait till December 25th. It should be a great reminder to us of the peace as peacemakers of Jesus Christ that we can enjoy as Christians. I'm not saying we don't have conflict, right? We all have conflict. We all have spats. We're sinners. But in Christ, in his work on the cross, and because he's a risen Savior, we don't have to do this. Because of these curses in Genesis 3, and just to sum a lot of them up, and it's a fun passage if you have a lot of time because there's some difficult verses on how do you interpret these. But really, just to summarize it, there are broken relationships, not only with God, our Creator, a vertical, broken relationship, but horizontally. We see this every day in Arica. Broken families, drug abuse, suicide, addictions, depression. They don't know how to deal with the sin that's in their heart. They try to hide. They try to run. They try to cover it up. But God sees it all. God knows it all. It's a wonderful opportunity for us to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Have you ever wondered, and this happens often in Chile, when there's a theft, when someone's going to steal something, what do they do typically before? They look around. The conscience that God gave us They know it's wrong. But they think they can do it without God seeing. That's what Adam and Eve tried to do. They tried to hide. They were ashamed because they knew now that they were naked before God that created them. But here we see in Genesis 3 as well, the concept of God's grace. God could have ended their lives immediately. But by his grace, what did he provide? Say it out loud. What did God provide for Adam and Eve? He had to sacrifice an animal to cover them with a skin of that animal. At the end of this chapter, 24, it says, he drove out the man at the east of the Garden of Eden, and he placed a cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. In God's grace and patience, he expelled them from his presence. And we see that same thing today. People out of the presence, out of communion with God, our holy God and creator. And only through the gospel of Jesus Christ can one come back into communion and a right relationship with our creative God. These are all concepts that stem from this chapter. And we must not miss it. Because if you're reading through the Bible and skip chapter 3, going from chapter 2 to chapter 4, we'll be scratching our head, what happened? May I challenge us all to be saddened by the sin that we see? We should be sensitive to it. I want to say this carefully, but we should not be shocked that sinners are sinning. And believe me, folks, if you grasp that, it frees you to interact in a godly way with unbelievers. No matter what they're doing or what they look like or where they have come from or the baggage that they have, in Christ there is peace. In Christ there is forgiveness of sin. And in Christ there is a fellowship with our Creator. That's why we're in Arica. That's why you sent us to Chile. But may I remind you all here in this area, this is your call as well. Your responsibility to live as salt and light in this dark and decaying world. There's no way to sugarcoat it. You turn on the news and it is just story after story of implications of Genesis 3. But the gospel has in it great hope, just like this verse in chapter 3, verse 15. The start of the first hope, the glimpse that God in his plan of redemption will provide, he has provided in Jesus Christ, will provide a redeemer that will in the end destroy Satan. I love that. I know who wins. That frees you up to serve when no one's looking. To serve when people treat you poorly. I trust in the justice of God. I sure would like it today. But in the end, I can trust him. Because he wins. These are some of the implications. There's many more in Genesis 3. I'm preaching through Genesis right now in Arica. Foundational passages, Genesis 1 through 11, in a Christian's life, in a new church plant. And I would like to challenge you to, when you compare the characteristics and the attributes of Satan and of Jesus Christ, it's hands down. We need to follow Jesus Christ. Satan is a deceiver. Satan is a liar. He's a murderer. He has been from the beginning. This is what the Bible says. As sinners, we need to continue to trust Christ in our sanctification, to grow, to learn from our sins and mistakes, to confess them to Him, and to get up and move forward. But we live and serve in a dark world that is not getting better. But understanding these implications and the hope in the gospel should give us enthusiasm to act and to serve in and through our local church for His glory. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to open up Your Word of God, Genesis 3, to try to understand it a little bit more and connect the dots to what we see today in our lives, in the news, in our communities. It is sad because it is a world without Christ. Families that are broken, people that are depressed, and Satan and his minions are tempting us and distracting us with new and shiny things that give pleasure for a moment, but eternally are worthless. I pray that You would help and guide each one of us to be faithful to You and to embrace Your promises that cause us to act and live out our lives in a great commission way. We love You, Lord, and we leave all of these things into Your capable hands this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. One of the major implications of the message that David gave this morning from this passage is that this one act of disobedience plunged all of mankind into sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We read there in the book of Romans. And the wages of sin is death. But God's grace is available as well. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And my friend, if you're here this morning or listening to the message online, and you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you need to do that today. Satan is a deceiver. I like the list that was given there on that one slide, the contrast between Satan and his character and his conduct and Jesus Christ. When you put your faith and trust in Christ, He delivers you out of spiritual darkness and death to spiritual life and light. And what a contrast. What a blessing to know that your sins are forgiven, that you have a home in heaven. And if you need help in making that decision, we'd love to take the Bible and show you from God's Word how you can have that assurance of your sins forgiven and a home in heaven. Steve's going to come and lead us in our closing hymn. As we prepare for the Lord's table this morning, let's meditate upon these implications. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, thank God that He has provided by His grace a way of forgiveness through Christ. Steve?
Hymn number 324 in your hymn books, What Will You Do With Jesus? If you're able, would you stand with me as we close our service?
Thank you.
may be seated. As we come before the Lord's table this morning, I wanted to share some thoughts from Hebrews chapter 9. And the writer of the book of Hebrews is presenting to us a superior Christ, a superior sacrifice. Where he says in chapter 9 and verse 11, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by his own blood he entered in once unto the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. And of course, we're looking at the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ and remembering the significance of what he accomplished there on the cross for us. The Lord's Supper is a local church ordinance instituted by the Lord for the local church to remember and observe. And we practice here close communion. That is, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ visiting with us and you know Christ as your Savior and baptized, we encourage you to join with us if you would desire to do so. I wanted to read also from the book of Corinthians, Paul's instructions to those believers. Beginning of verse 23, chapter 11, where he says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we're chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Bow with me for prayer, and then we'll distribute the elements at this time. Father in heaven, thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, his willing submission to your will, to go to that cross and to die in our place for our sin, to take upon himself that penalty and that death that we deserve for our sin. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity we have to remember what he accomplished for us and to rejoice in that accomplishment, something that we could never have done ourselves, because it's not by works which we have done. It is by your grace, through faith in Jesus Christ, and we praise you for that. So as we partake of the bread of the fruit of the vine, I pray, Lord, that we would meditate upon these wonderful blessings that you provided for us through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray in his precious name. Amen. Jesus said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Peter reminded his readers, and he reminds us of these truths. For as much as you know, that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but is manifest in these last times for you. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord, ye do show forth the Lord's death till he comes. This time we're going to all stand, if you're able, and we're going to sing a verse of Blessed Be the Tie That Binds, and Steve will lead us in that song.
Blessed be the tie.